Blog Talk Radio.
Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on the conversation, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the final GOP debate of the year on CNN that was on Tuesday. Also, LA schools were shut down and 600,000 kids plus were sent home over terrorist threats. The double standard with the kids, because if it was real and they went to school and something happened, they would have been up in arms for doing nothing. But since it was a fake bomb threat and nothing happened, they were going ballistic because they stayed home. Also, why is the White House and the Obama administration not willing to discuss that it did not go after or attack a known ISIS propaganda spot? The girl from Schenectady, New York, So Afraid Terry, has been getting bombarded with cards and gifts and everything after her emotional plea for Christmas cards to fill her card tree. And it is just heartwarming. It's my Christmas gift right there. Also, if you were on planet Mars, Chelsea makes major news as it splits ways with Jose Mourinho, the most successful manager in Chelsea history in 110 years. My thoughts on that and so much more. So welcome to the weekly conversation, folks. Psalms 71:18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Kind of think about that as you're going through your day to day, and welcome. And I wanted to start off with something. Wednesday, 8 years ago, Wednesday, the world lost a great man. Dan Fogelberg. What can you say? I mean, he had prostate cancer, and I guess for me, music was always there when no one understood me. Music always did, you know, and it was just incredible. And it's hard to believe it's been 8 years, you know. And just an incredible songwriter, arranger, just amazing guy. And just, wow, hard to believe it's been 8 years, you know, but he was just amazing. I guess, you know, I can always relate to music because when no one could understand me, music always could. I could always hear a Dead tune or a Blind Melon song, or a Dan Fogelberg song. He gets it. He, you know, I will get by, I will survive, you know. And it's helped me, you know. I'm glad I lived in the era I did and grew up in the era I grew up in, where I could understand the music and I could know what the lyrics were. Some of the songs I hear on the radio now, it makes no sense to me. I can't even understand it. So even if, I mean, even with the lyric sheet, I'd be like, he's saying that? Really? Okay. You know, you didn't have to have a degree in rocket science to figure out what they're saying. Like some of this music today, which I don't understand, which I'm turning into my parents. Oh, wow. But, you know, just the good people are going, you know, the good ones are going to the wayside, and we're getting more and more stuck with Justin Bieber's. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. But that's the world we live in today, folks. The good ones are going, and Justin Bieber and all them, so Lord help me. They're the ones that are sticking around. This is a quote from one of my songwriter I like, that one of my favorites, John Lennon. He goes, "When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment. I told them they didn't understand life." You know, and that's, you know, nowadays, they don't, I don't know. I guess I don't see the music making sense or having any type of, you may not agree with certain artists back in the day, but they had a message. They, you know, nowadays, there's no message. But then look at who the people are that are listening. They're believing that global warming is the cause of terrorism. Not that I'm against, like, helping the environment and doing recycling or stuff like that, but, you know. I mean, this is the world we live in. This is the U.S. crime statistic. Blacks killed by whites, 2%. Killed by police, 3%. Whites killed by whites, 16%. Whites killed by blacks, 81%. Blacks killed by other blacks, that death rate is at 97%. But everyone's going up arms when blacks are killed by police. And you want to know what the percentage is of the blacks being killed by the police? 1%. That's it. But everyone is up in arms in Chicago because this black person was shot by a cop. And maybe he used excessive force. But I don't see them standing up to the 97% of the time when it's another black guy killing a black guy. Why aren't they outraged at that? Because it doesn't fit the liberal agenda. And that's what's going on in this country. You know, I actually had to check a guy at work today. You know, I had to check a guy's PC, you know, because he had his cell phone on. I'm like, you realize that cell phone is a microaggression going off on people that can't afford a cell phone? You know, you're being offensive to people that can't afford a phone, man. You got to put it away. I mean, kind of jokingly, because it's like the South Park PC principle. I mean, that's where this world's coming to. I mean, I don't think there's one word in the English language that someone cannot find offensive somehow. I'm sure there is. I guarantee you there is. You know, this LA school, 600 plus thousand kids were told to stay home because of a fake bomb threat. It ended up being not real. And they're being ostracized and criticized because they closed down the schools and sent everyone home. Well, what if it was real? And everyone went to school, and something did happen. Then they'd be, well, why didn't you? You need to decide on the. You need to be on the side of caution, and you should, you know, da 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 da. I don't get it, because they get raked over the coals when it was a fake bomb threat, and people get you don't send the kids to school, and you close down schools to be safe. But then what happens? They would have sent them to school, and it would have been legit. Why didn't you send them home? You know, you should have sent. I mean, a bomb went off in this school, and 200 kids died. Why didn't you do something? But then, when they do something inside on the side of caution, and there's ends up being a false alarm, then they get ridiculed. They can't win. I don't get it. I don't understand, because I think this is the first in many, because you're going to have these kids that are going to be like, dude, let's call in a bomb threat, man. Let's see if we can get, you know, they're just going to, like, it's a joke, because the media makes everything a joke. We don't have media anymore. Well, you know, I mean, really what we got to do is we got to build more wind turbines, and that with the wind turbines, they're going to actually stop terrorism, you know, because global warming is the cause of it. You know, there is no media anymore. People look at it as people are going to sit there and call in a bomb threat like it's a joke. I can I think it was in eighth grade, a kid by the name of Jacob Bullitt I went to school with, he brought in a bag of flour pretending it was cocaine and got in trouble and I think suspended for like 2 days or something. Nowadays, kids would bring actual cocaine and they'd be like, man, where'd you get this stuff, man? It's barely turning blue. Man, this is low-grade stuff. Man, this must have been cut like 50%. What the heck? Man, I wouldn't even take this. But when I was in school, a kid bought flour. Now you'll see, now will be the new norm to call in bomb threats or call in terrorist stuff. And something needs to be done about it. I just don't get the fact that I'm glad they sent everyone home and didn't go to school. Because if it had been real and something, they protected themselves. I mean, I work in the assisted living continuing care communities. And if you sit there and you have a person sign a waiver saying that they're on a puree diet or gummy diet and they want to eat regular food, and you sign a waiver, if I'm going to sign this waiver so my mom can have regular consistency food, they could, and she chokes and dies, they could still come after you and sue you because, well, she's supposed to have the doctor and the therapist say that she should be on ground meat diet and she should have been on that. And there's actually been cases where they've actually sued and won. Even though they signed a waiver that says, hey, we're saying that she wants regular food and da-da-da. You know, there's so many double standards in this world. I'm glad they closed and to keep everyone safe. I'd rather have had that than, here we go again, a bomb went off and, I know that ISIS took responsibility, but we still don't really, we need to just make sure that they actually did that. You know, we gotta spend about 5 years investigating to make sure that before we actually just jump to conclusion and attack, you know, because that's what the left will say, you know, because they're not going to do anything to attack ISIS. I mean, the White House won't even discuss why they would not go after known ISIS propaganda spots. Yeah, if they didn't do anything to help stop Benghazi, what makes you think they're going to stop anything else? I mean, as I want to get into the GOP debate right now, because Donald Trump basically said, well, Hillary Clinton might not even be able to run for president. And the CNN announcers were like, well, what do you mean? Well, she's under FBI investigation and has hundreds and hundreds of emails coming up that should have been labeled classified, but they don't have to be labeled classified. If they're talking about Benghazi, that's classified. At least I would think it is. But, you know, I'm not a politician. Sort of like Eric Holder in that gun running investigation. Well, he can't know what's going on because he'll be in trouble, but he was in charge of it, so he had to know what was going on. Ridiculous. But guess what? Most of the people don't know this. They don't care. And I forget, I can't think of that name, of the new guy, whatever I think it is, that's taken over for Jon Stewart. I mean, he's worthless, but I mean, he's, because 85 to 90% of college kids got their news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Now if they're going to get their news from him, we're screwed. Like I say, I don't care if you vote for Hillary Clinton. Know what she stands for. Which is not America. Because she didn't lift one finger to help Benghazi. And she was actually on TV saying that the survivors of the Benghazi heroes that died that day are liars. She point blank said that. A GOP person couldn't get away with it. They'd be raking them over the freaking coals. They'd be playing that clip over and over and over and over and over again. I wonder why no one trusts the media anymore, because there is no media. It's just one big just one big circus. Because three quarters of the media, everyone, I'd say at least two or three people have either worked in the Obama administration or are now in the Obama administration's White House. And let me tell you, they've worked for CBS, NBC, MSNBC, ABC. There are some people that have left CBS to go to Fox just because they're tired of it. That's why like when Paris happened, when those attacks happened, I went to see what the MSNBC, see what they were saying. I wanted to hear a little bit. That's why I watch InfoWars with Alex Jones, and I watch The Blaze, and I watch Fox, and I see, okay, well, let me see what they're all saying, and let me see what I believe the facts are, and get my opinion based on that. But the debate, I mean, well, granted, you only really have two people. You have Hillary Clinton on the left and Bernie Sanders. So they really aren't backfighting. But the GOP needs to just come together. I don't know if they can legally do this, but I think the GOP just needs to say, hey, we need to announce our candidate. Okay, if you want Trump or Ben Carson or whatever, pick the one person and run with it. If they really, truly, you know, instead of backfighting, instead of going back and forth and often, you know, and going off on each other about this and that and all this petty bullcrap, why don't you come together? But, I mean, as most of you may not know, during the GOP debate, Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, actually did a media dump and said, here we go. We got a credit card here, and we're going to pay $500 on the credit card, but then we're going to charge $4,000. Yeah, they passed a budget, which is horrible, but, I mean, it's just one of these, like, this will get us by for another 12 weeks or whatever. You know, I put $500 in the credit card. Yeah, but then you're going to spend more because I guess the debt ceiling really means nothing, you know. It's only a matter of time before this, it's uncontrollable. I mean, it's sort of like filling a balloon. It's only a matter of time before it breaks. You know, this before, okay, when are we going to stop and say, okay, no more? Okay, what are we going to be at, like 50 trillion? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it was done during the GOP debate. And they fight back and forth. I like a little bit about what each candidate says. But I don't like 100% everybody. But then at the same time, I think a lot of candidates are like, well, look at what's happening to Trump. I need to look in to see what these people want and say what they want. Because I think a lot of it, I guess it's one of those where, yeah. I just feel like, to be honest, it's like, well, I give this guy $5 and he doesn't pay me back. I give this guy $10 and he doesn't pay me. He says he's going to pay me back. And I feel like, okay, well, all these people, like, I'm hearing what I want to hear, but I'm hearing the talk. I want to see the walk. And that's the thing I don't think we'll see. Because it's just like John Boehner. Well, we need to get rid of Obamacare, da-da-da-da-da, as soon as he became Speaker. Well, Obamacare's the lay of the land. That's what it is. Sorry. That's what it is. Gotta live with it. Huh. No, we don't. That's not what we heard. And they'll go all day long about Republicans said this, but then did that. But a Democrat, they won't do that. They won't talk about what a okay for Hillary Clinton every 5 seconds just to get a vote, but the GOP can't do that. Because I got into it with someone, like, if one of the people on the right, a GOP person, change their mind, the liberal media will go, yeah, he's just trying to get votes, you know, he's just changing, you know, he's not after, he's not, he doesn't have a conscience. It's not like he's, he said, well, I thought about this, and no, he's doing it to get votes. Hillary Clinton changes her mind every 5 minutes. It's like, well, you know what, she can't change her opinion? You know, the thing of her changing her opinion to get a vote, oh, no, that's not what's going on. She's not. So, it's crazy. Move on, folks. But it's how it is. It's the double standard around the world. Don't get it, man. And I don't know if I ever will. You know, I mean, when they went and go after Benghazi, it says it all. And I just, you know, with that debate, you know, I hear a lot from every, I mean, like I like Chris Christie says a lot of things I like, but then when he's basically come out and said, you know, I would go after Colorado and all these states, this makes you go, wait a minute here. So, I just want to see the talk. I see that all the time. I want to see the walk. I want to see actual change. That's what this country was founded on. You know, I actually think Ben Carson would actually walk the walk. He would, yeah, I'm going to do what I'm going to say. You know, him. Because I think a lot of them are like, well, look at what Trump is doing. He's saying all this stuff, and he's doing all this. Because, I mean, they have a lot of backfighting. Like in that debate, there's a lot of going back and forth. I'm like, they need to come together. Granted, there's only two people in the Democrats really vying for it. And, you know, at least Bernie Sanders will say, you know, get off the dang emails. Okay, let's move on. Okay, that's great. I'm glad, but, you know. I wish, yeah, but the GOP needs to be like, hey, we need to come together, you know. Hey, any one of these candidates would be way better than Hillary Clinton or, you know, or Bernie Sanders. But then, like I've said before, you know, Boeing 747 headed to the Sears Tower. They all the GOPs, and for the most of the GOP candidates, maybe Donald Trump and Ben Carson might not, but almost everyone, including Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and all the GOP candidates, we would slam into the Sears Tower and all die. None of them would kick it out of autopilot and steer us clear from, you know, we'd all go to the same place. The GOP person would slow us way down so you didn't notice that we're, you know, or at least Hillary Clinton would put the thing in full throttle and go a million miles an hour, so it'd be over. You know, she'd just go 10 times faster, but we get to the same endpoint. I mean, if that budget was so great, why did they do it during the GOP debate? Why didn't they sit there and wait and say, okay, we passed a budget, and then, you know, the next day say, hey, we came to an agreement on a budget. I mean, I'm hoping that it just happened to be that they passed it at the same time as the debate, and it wasn't planned. It wasn't like scripted that way to try to, okay, let's just dump this really fast. That way, no, that way we can just